Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, Accrington usually play a sort of 3-4-1-2. We'll see how that pans out as the Addicts get us underway.
You've got Butcher over this.
Struck on the near side and it's flown into the top right-hand corner, and it's Pell who hit that from distance, and the ex-Charlton Academy player has enjoyed that, and Charlton certainly haven't, and the visitors take the lead after 9 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very, very good strike.
Stockley trying to take off his toes. It might run to Gilby. It does. Gilby crossing opportunity towards the near post. It's come off defender and gone in. And Charlton have an equaliser. Superb, tenacious work from Alex Gilby. Not only to receive the ball, turn, spin with it, and manage to keep it in for Charlton. I think it comes off Morgan last, and Charlton have the equaliser.
Yeah, and it's come out of nowhere a little bit, hasn't it? If anything, Accrington were looking to extend their
switches
lead.
Switches the play across to McConville, who looked to take on Gunter, approaching the penalty area. McConville onto his left foot with the cross. It comes across to Pell at the far post, unmarked. Too easy from a Charlton perspective. Pell gets his second, Accrington get their second.
Pell holds up the ball for Accrington, inside to Hamilton, who will drive forward for the visitors on his left foot, will go for goal and manages to convert, and Accrington have a third. He cut inside Albie Morgan with a shot on the edge of the penalty area. Caught out the Charlton defence and the Charlton goalkeeper, and Accrington make it 3-1.
Yeah, sorry, I sat down and you're letting a player drift inside.
Washington into the channel on that Charlton left-hand side. Can he get there first? So he does as well. Superb work ahead of Amankwa. Drilled ball across and it's cleared, but Unis for Stockley, who drilled it home. Charlton back in this. Superb work from Washington. And that is the final whistle. Charlton going down to second successive defeat, this one at the Valley.
Points from getting out of the drop zone as well, and in these two games that we had an opportunity against two sides that were struggling for form, we haven't managed to pick up any points, and you can't keep conceding three goals at home, two goals at home. You can't keep needing three goals and four goals to win games, and unfortunately it's been our undoing on too many occasions where we just look a bit too fragile defensively. And we spoke about a few weeks back, how would we try and change it? It would be to try and go back to not conceding goals, and we just can't find a balance at the moment where we've got a team that's hard to beat. And unfortunately, that's led to back-to-back defeats. And it's hard to know where to go from there.
Listen, it's not nice. I'm not going to sit here and say it's nice, because it's not. It's not pleasant, you know? And if someone's, I think if anybody here is getting shouted out the way that people are venting the frustrations, you know, you'll either collapse and go into a corner, or you just have to stand there and understand why that is happening, you know? I think I'm a good person. I don't think I'm a bad person. I think I've got the right values in life. Now, at the moment, results are going against us. And because of that, I will be, and I, you know, I'm the one who's got to be accountable for that, and be the one who's got to be the brunt of all the frustrations. Now, at the end of the day, if the frustration comes on me and it doesn't go on to the players, hopefully the players then can play with that freedom and that confidence, because ultimately when the players cross the white line, there's the team there, they're the ones passing the ball, they're the ones keeping out the back of the net, they're the ones putting in the back of the net, if that makes sense. So I understand that, you know, I share the fans' frustration, But that's the football side of it.
So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live on a dramatic day at the Valley as Nigel Adkins is relieved of his duties in SC7 and Johnny Jackson comes in as the caretaker manager. My name is Louis Mendes. Thank you for joining us and we'll be discussing everything that's happened at Charlton today. Joining me to do that first up, Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, how are you?
Are you still in shock?
No. No, I'm not. I'm surprised it took as long as it did, to be honest. So, no shock here.
No shock there. What about you, Lewis Cat? Are you sad to see Nigel go?
I'm sad for Nigel because I think he's a nice bloke, but I think the change was definitely required. So happy the change has been made. But yeah, I feel a bit sorry for Nigel Adkins as a person.
Yeah, well, we heard there just in the intro, Nigel Adkins' last interview as a Charlton manager, just a snippet of it, obviously coming after that home defeat against Accrington Stanley that sees us still stuck in the relegation zone. It's just been a dreadful start to the season. Unfortunately, the axe has swung now from Thomas Sandgaard. Nigel Adkins has been let go. We're going to hear throughout the show the first press day from Johnny Jackson, the caretaker manager now. Terry was down at the training ground to speak to Jacko not long after the news broke that he will be the caretaker manager. So we're going to hear that throughout the day, throughout the show. We're also going to hear, of course, from Thomas Sandgaard, the man who's had to make that decision. He spoke to the club earlier. We've got that. And we've got plenty of reaction from you guys as well to the change at the helm. Some people suggesting who they'd like to see as manager next, given their reaction to Nigel leaving and to Jacko taking over as caretaker. We will look ahead briefly to the Sunderland game, of course. A big game up at the Stadium Light on Saturday. Not an easy one to start for any manager. And we'll look ahead to that later on in the show. But, I mean, Tom, then, you know, we said it on the show on Sunday. I think we were surprised he was still there after that loss at Lincoln. Many people were surprised he remained in post after the defeat against Bolton a few weeks ago. You know, but I think, you know, the time has come now, unfortunately, for Nigel, and time for Thomas Sandgaard to draw a line under it and suggest that this wasn't working.
Yeah, writing's been on the wall for a few weeks, I think, and it's difficult. I know I haven't been on the show for a while, technical problems and whatever, but I never like to see a manager lose his job. And I know you guys that have been on the show have been saying the same. You know, as a show, we try and be pro-manager where we can, but, you know, ultimately it hasn't been good enough. And I think we're all surprised by it. You look at the run that we went on the back end of last season when he came in, was obviously good. I think on the whole, we were pleased with the signings we brought in, perhaps a little bit late in the window, but the actual bodies that we brought in, we were pleased with. And I think what, for me, the takeaway from particularly Lincoln and Tuesday night has been is it has to just be an issue with Nigel. It just has to be, because it's the shape that's wrong, and it's the reluctance to change things that seems wrong to me. And ultimately that rests with him. And I echo what Lewis said in that intro. You know, I said I wasn't shocked that he's gone, but like Lewis, I am sad for him. You know, he comes across as a lovely bloke, and I really wanted it to work out. And as I say, I don't like sacking managers just for the sake of it and short-termism in football. But I think when you look at how we've started this season, it was the only decision Thomas could make. I'm surprised he waited as long as he did, but I think ultimately whether it's the right call will be proven by what happens for the rest of this season. But something had to change, and I just didn't see it improving under Nigel, unfortunately. So, yeah, on to the Jacko era now, and it will be very interesting to see how long he gets and what he can do with this side now, because I think we'd all agree that they have underperformed in terms of their ability so far.
Yeah, I mean, as Tom says, I think the writing's been on the wall with Nigel for a while now, unfortunately. And it is unfortunate because, as Tom says, he's a nice bloke. He's someone you can respect. And I found dealing with him, like he always was professional and he was respectful to us. So, yeah, I don't think he ever gave much away in interviews, but that's, you know, that's his prerogative. That's how he wants to handle the press. But he was never nasty with us. He never got snappy with us. So obviously wish him all the best for whatever comes next. That's end of season that we saw last year, Lewis, you know, 10 games, one defeat, with a squad that wasn't his, to come in then and for it to have gone so wrong this year. And we will talk about the issues with the transfer window and whatever to come after. But, you know, we're in October now. We're near the end of October. So obviously, though, whatever happened in terms of disappointment with fitness, that should have been drawn a line under a long time ago. And many saw that win at Fleetwood before the international break as the chance to really kick things on. But the two performances we've seen since then, the Lincoln defeat, and that may have been a last-minute defeat, but it was a really sloppy, poor performance again. And then Accrington, again, there were spells during that first half against Accrington where I honestly thought some of these players had never seen each other before. They were so off it, and they were struggling to sort of link up so much that it looked absolutely bizarre to see it playing out in front of me. Obviously, they did improve at times in the second half when they made a late rally, but it was way too late by then. So I guess, Lewis, the question is, what on earth happened over the summer? And why did Nigel not find that winning formula, or at least a formula to get something more cohesive out of his side this long into the season?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because you touched on his run at the end of, you know, the last season when he came in at March sort of time to replace Bowyer, and he did a fairly decent job, really. We just finished shy of the playoffs. The performances were fairly good. We got big wins against the likes of Sunderland and Doncaster and people like that were really good performances as well, and complete performances, and beat Hull on the last day as well. So we performed okay under him. And the confusing thing is, a lot of the players that we had at the time, we've actually brought back in. You know, it's only the biggest one for me is the fact that we never replaced Chuksunike, and he probably gained us so many points from the bench, even as an impact player. And his goals would have won us so many points last year. And I think that we never truly replaced him. That's one factor for it for me, I think. But apart from that, I mean, it's difficult to see, because when I was looking at the calibre of player coming in, I think Tom touched on it then, you know, the squad on paper is a very decent squad. They're good players at this level, but on paper, and we're not seeing their potential at the moment. And for whatever reason, you said about the performances, you know, we spoke about it on the show last week about how it would be a great opportunity at Lincoln, who aren't in the best of form themselves, to go up there and try and get something and then get a bit of a run together. And then you come off the back of that game to face an Accrington side that have got the worst away record in the league and try and get a victory at home to get your fans back on side. And then all of a sudden, you're two wins on the bounce heading up to Sunderland full of confidence. But we didn't see any of that. The performance up at Lincoln was diabolical. It was disjointed. We showed absolutely no game plan whatsoever. We had no identity, which has been a common theme throughout the season. And we lost, as you say, to a 90th minute winner. But if we hadn't lost that game, it would have been a complete injustice to Lincoln. And then the game on Tuesday, went into it with a little bit of hope. I actually thought that we might have nicked something on Tuesday because of how poor their away record was. But we find ourselves behind. And again, there's no identity and there's nothing. There's no sort of drive to change it. And we're in the stands, and as soon as that free kick was about to be taken, I was like, this is the moment that something goes in. And all of a sudden you find yourself in an uphill battle, because I know as soon as we concede, we go to this game plan of hoofing the ball long. And there were so many moans and groans of the ball being hoofed up to Stockley and going over his head and straight into their keeper's arms. And yeah, another disappointing defeat Tuesday with a poor performance. And you know, something's alarming if you can't turn that around. Like we've had two opportunities where we've won a game and then we've had the international break and we've not been able to do anything with it. Whether that we would perform better if we'd have had a game in the middle to continue a bit of momentum, or we're not, you know, doing the right things on the training ground to build on these things, I don't know. But it's a failure on both occasions now. And, you know, we're 13 games into the season, 4 points adrift in the bottom four of League One. And if you'd have said that's where we'd be this stage of the season at the start of the season, you know, we'd be really laughing probably. But it's a real reality now, and the change had to come. And as you said, you know, it's a shame because Nigel's a nice guy, but it just wasn't working on the pitch. And ultimately, it's a results business, and nice guys don't always win. And you know, where we are right now, it needs a serious transformation. And you know, now it's in the hands of Johnny Jackson temporarily to try and get us out of this mess.
Are there any exonerating circumstances that Nigel can blame Tom? Obviously, I mentioned the fitness issue and the late coming together of the squad earlier on, and that's something that Nigel himself mentioned quite a lot, the inability to name a settled side obviously didn't help. But, I mean, can you cling on to that? Can you say that what that caused at the start of the season can still be the reason for where we are now? We've got ourselves into a rut or something.
I think the late transfer business has played its part, definitely. Obviously, I don't have the stats available and I don't see what happens on the training ground, but I find it hard to believe that at this stage in the season, having had two international breaks, he couldn't have got the players up to speed in terms of their fitness. And I also struggle to believe that he hasn't had enough games to find a settled side. So I don't think he can sit on those as excuses. I think the late transfer business, yes, that did play a part. But for me, and I echo what Lewis says about the performances in the last two games, you know, if we'd have just lost those slightly, I would understand it. And even though both were by one goal and the Saturday game against Lincoln was in the last minute, both of those games we lost comfortably, like comfortably, even though that goal came in the last minute. We were nowhere near winning either of those games. And for me, it's, as I said earlier, his reluctance to change. I don't think those other things are the reason. You know, he brings Connor Washington on, a man who I thought was very, very impressive last year. In the glimpses he's had this year, I think has been good. It's no coincidence that when he comes on, he runs his arse off, he wins the ball back, and we score a goal a few minutes after he's come on. That's happened. Why is he not playing? Why is he stuck with this one up front, you know? So things like that, I just think there has been a reluctance to try other things, and maybe, I don't know why that is, and I doubt we'll ever find out, but no, I think he'd run out of excuses. I think the transfer window played a part. I think Thomas gave him time for that. I think we gave him time for that as well. But I just think patience had run out all round, and I think deservedly so. And again, I go back to what I said. I don't like saying that because it's nothing against him personally, and I really wanted it to work out. But I just think his time had run its course ultimately. And Jacko has obviously come in and said he wants to shake things up, and that's exactly what we need because we're second or third bottom.
The clip we heard at the start of the podcast where Nigel was sort of saying how it is difficult to be stood in the stadium and to hear some of the things that get shouted in football stadiums. And it's not a new thing. You know, we've all been going football all our lives. It's probably out of everywhere, probably the place you learn how to F and Jeff and to hurl abuse at people. That is the game, unfortunately. And I don't think it will ever change. I don't think I'd ever want it to change completely. But it is tough. And it does, I think it was better for everyone that Nigel was taken out of that firing line as well at the moment in time. And I'm sure he could stand there and listen to these sort of things, but it got to a stage where it would have taken so much for Nigel to win the fans back over that it was actually getting quite uncomfortable. And I'll say it as well. It was uncomfortable to do some of these interviews that we've had with Nigel after games. You know, I think the first real one after the Bolton game, when he looked like he'd been hit by a train after that, you know, those three goals we conceded in the last 15 minutes or so and lost 4-1, having played quite well for an hour. And then obviously at Lincoln, that one was actually quite a frustrating interview because he felt like he was making excuses a little bit, whereas the last game against Accrington, it felt inevitable that the writing was on the wall for everyone as well. So that it's been a really nasty, disappointing and horrible situation, and that's why sometimes it is also best just to get him out of the firing line, because you could see he was upset about things and it just didn't feel like there could have been a way back. Lewis?
No, it didn't, and you're right. I think, you know, Nigel Adkins is a nice bloke. He's a genuinely nice person. He has a great, you know, personality, and his presence on social media when he first came in especially was really welcomed, and people got into the walking videos, and, you know, just a genuine nice person. So when you see someone that you know is that nice, you know, getting absolute pelters because he's not doing a great job, it is difficult to be a part of that. But ultimately, yes, sadly, it is the game and it is football. And, you know, Nigel won't be the only manager, and he definitely won't be the last to receive abuse and you know, issues like that, because it's just the way the game is these days. And it's always going to be like that, because ultimately your fans want your team to do well. And when it's not doing well, the buck seems to stop with the manager. And, you know, I think it's the right time for him to come out of that. I think what you said was bang on. You know, the Bolton game, we fell apart. And I think he, as you said, he looked completely sort of just exhausted and destroyed. And then we went and got that win, which probably would have put a bit more confidence back in him. And then, yeah, the Lincoln game, he maybe dressed it up a bit. And then, yeah, like you say, by Tuesday, it almost felt inevitable. And maybe it was the right time to pull him out of that situation, because he's a human being at the end of the day. And I think if the trigger wasn't pulled by Thomas, I think it may have only been a matter of time that he may have resigned himself. If, you know, after a while, if you're facing that much abuse week after week, and as you say, it's kind of irreparable, that relationship with the fans, especially because of how bad our start has been, it would have probably taken a sort of like a 10-game winning streak to even consider getting it turned around, and that's not looking likely at the moment. So I think it's probably the right time now. You know, the axe has swung and he's gone of Thomas's orders, but I think really Nigel probably knows it's the right time, and I think he'll probably be not grateful, but understanding that he's come out of that situation now.
Well, we're going to hear from Thomas Sandgaard in a few moments' time as well, but I want to hear from the man who takes over the reins in the Valley hot seat in a caretaker capacity, at least, Johnny Jackson. No secret that he's wanted the job before. He spoke to Terry today during press day. Terry asked Jacko, or Mr. Jackson, as I shall be calling him now that he is the manager, if he will be throwing his hat into the ring.
Well, I've had a real brief conversation with Mr. Sandgaard this morning, and he's just hinted, you know, for me to take the team going forward, and that I'd be afforded every opportunity to try and impress him. And yeah, like you say, throw my hat into the ring. You know, that's long been an ambition of mine to manage this football club, to get the opportunity to play for it, to captain it, to then coach it. Becoming the manager would be sort of fulfilling the ultimate ambition, really. So, yeah, that doesn't change. That doesn't change, and I'll be giving it, not just for me, but for the football club, giving it everything I've got to try and win games and get us out of this position that we're in, because we shouldn't be there.
I said before, I mean, the fans obviously will be right behind you, you know that. But when you consider the position we're in, even going back to Tuesday, you know, and obviously it can be a toxic place when any football ground can be a toxic place when teams aren't doing well. But that period in the second half when, you know, we went at Accrington, and the crowd were well behind the team and up for it. So can you portray that to the players that yes, all right, you know, things might have been difficult, but when they need to be, the crowd are, you know, right behind the team?
Well, that's my job. You know, I've been in it long enough to see the effect that the crowd can have on the team, and it's my job now to get the lads into a place where I know from if a Charlton team is at it and working and running and hassling from the first minute, that the crowd are going to get behind it. I know that. So it's my job now to get that out of the players. Question will be why hasn't it not been happening to now? But you know, the past is the past. We can't change what's gone on. Now it's my focus and my job now to portray that to the players. You give them everything. You give everything for the shirt, and they'll give you everything back. And that needs to be the bare minimum. The bare minimum. And I believe we've got enough quality in the squad that if we can bring that we'll go on. We can go and win football games and hopefully go on a run, get ourselves out of this position.
Just finally, you said, you know, everybody knows that it's an ambition for you to manage this club. You're in that learning process, or you have been in that learning process, despite what's gone on, despite the difficulties we've had. You've still been able to learn from, you know, people like Nigel and everybody you've been under up to this point.
Yeah, I mean, you always, from the minute I sort of set my thoughts to coaching, even when I was still playing, you're looking at coaches and the managers that you're working for, and you're taking the good and the bad out of the situations that you see. You're always thinking about what would you do, how would you have dealt with this situation, and I feel like I'm starting to get quite a bit of experience now through my playing days, and now having been coaching for a good few years and having worked under a few different managers now, it definitely helps sort of broaden your horizons and just see different styles and pick little things from different people that you like or what you don't like, and just sort of try and come up with your own way of doing it with the good things that you've seen and parking some of the bad. But ultimately, I've got to come up with my own style, and I've got my own style. And now I have to imprint that on the team, because what we've been doing isn't working, clearly. So I need to do something different. Players need to do something different. It's a collective we all need to do some things differently, and we all need to try that a little bit harder and push harder and just see what we can find, really, because the position we find ourselves in isn't a good one. But I'm confident that we've got enough, and I'm confident in myself to be able to drag it out of these lads to get results.
There we go. That's Jacko. I mean, he made no secret of the fact that he wants to do it, Tom. He's wanted to manage in the past. I think when Bowyer took over from Carl Robertson, I feel there were some within the club who were surprised that it went to Bowyer and not to Jacko. We think probably he would have been very keen to have got the job when Nigel took over. Now he's going to be given his chance to do it. And I mean, I can't imagine there's a single Charlton fan out there who wants this to go badly. I mean, it's so different supporting this club when there's someone you really look up to at the helm. And that's one of the things I did struggle with Nigel is, I've got nothing against him. Just didn't know the bloke. Whereas with Bo, with Parley, with Alan Kirbishy, obviously, because he was the manager the entire time I was here. I imagine for people with Lenny Lawrence as well, who obviously did good things while he was a manager. Once you get a rapport with people at the club, and obviously Jacko's got that in abundance, you really get behind the team. It really becomes part of that cause again, and you really want to see him do well, not just for the club, but for him as well at the helm.
Yeah, I was very surprised he stayed when Nigel got the job. I thought he would, when he was kind of overlooked, I thought that would be that, and obviously he chose to stay on as assistant. I'm now genuinely terrified, and I say that because in my time supporting Charlton, I've never wanted a manager to succeed more. Obviously, I always want Charlton to do well, but the idea of him not doing well, I just can't conceive that, really, because, as you say, when I started supporting, Kirbishley was already here. And of course, I have huge respect and love for Lee Bowyer, although I never saw him as a Charlton player, and Chris Powell, but perhaps not quite the same affinity as I have for Johnny Jackson, and not quite the same adoration for him for what he's done in his Charlton career. So, yeah, and I think there will be a lot of people who feel very similar. And ultimately, if he does get the permanent job, he is just a manager, and he is as fallible as everybody else, and he's as at risk of losing his job as anybody else would be. But the collective will to get behind him, we've seen what a difference that can make at this club. You know, Powell came in as a rookie, Bowyer came in as a rookie in terms of managers, but that affinity just carried them. And, you know, with Adkins, I go back to a tiny point I made with him, you know, not clapping the fans. Tiny little thing, and it shouldn't mean very much, but especially for our generation, we have always grown up, or almost always, if we ignore the Belgian years, almost always grown up with somebody who has that affinity for the club in charge. And that connection means a huge amount. And so he will certainly have a little bit of leeway to start with most people, not everybody, but most people, because of that connection. And ultimately, I think that will drive the team on and make a difference. And yeah, as I say, I go back to what I just said at the start of this point, which is I've just never wanted a Charlton manager to succeed more. And I just wish him all the luck in the world. I just hope it works out. And I hope he gets his chance. And, you know, he's not going to be the manager forever, but I just hope he can turn this around and ultimately save this season, because I think playoffs probably done now anyway. The ultimate thing is we just need to make sure we're in that division next year to have a good go at it. And I just hope beyond everything that it's with Jacko in charge.
There was an argument, Lewis, a lot of people, well, some people said that you need a clean sweep. You know, Jacko's been in the building for a number of years now, but I mean, a lot of people saying, well, he's part of this, what's happened under Adkins so far. He was part of it all going off the rails with Bowyer. But I guess, I mean, for starters, you never know how much a number two is part of it. I mean, someone pointed out, I think, on the forum or something earlier, very, very interestingly as well, that, you know, when Bo came in, one of the first things he did was change formation after Robinson. And Jacko's, you know, whilst he was here under the previous, obviously, the previous few managers, the thing I found really fascinating was he comes in, talks about needing to get his own style and imprint that on the team, because what we've been doing isn't working, clearly. He's drawn a line already underneath the Adkins era, and that's what he has to do.
Yeah, massively. And I think it sets the stall out for Johnny as well, because this is his opportunity now. I think, you know, last time we speak about when he was in contention for the job before Nigel came in, it was just that one game, wasn't it? You almost feel like a decision was made and he was just sort of seeing that game through for Nigel to take over when he came in. But this time, you know, for Thomas to come out and publicly say he's going to give Johnny Jackson the opportunity, I think, you know, that he obviously sees something in him, and I think we all do. And as Tom said, that affiliation with the football club is so important at Charlton, especially because we've seen previous successes under the likes of Boya, under the likes of Chris Powell as well, in recent history, that have been some of the best times of some of our supporting lives. So I think that, you know, as Tom said, I'm desperate for it to work for him. So I think it's a good choice. I'd rather he was given the opportunity to do it. I don't think there's as much pressure on at the moment. I mean, of course, we need to get out of the situation we're in. That's a given. But there's a lot of time to do that. I don't think any of us are mounting the pressure on him to get us promoted this season or get us in the top six. We saw it with Chris Powell when he came in, fairly inexperienced at the time, that season, you know, it didn't end great. After Parkinson left and Powell came in, you know, I think we finished sort of 13th, 14th maybe that year. It wasn't a great season. And then you start putting your style in place, and the following year we had that massive turnaround and look what we did. So I'm not saying that the history can repeat itself and that could happen again, but I'd much rather, especially at the moment, given the morale of the club as a whole, not just on the pitch but off it as well in the stands, needs that lift of somebody that just gets it. And I think Johnny Jackson is that person. So I'd like him to be given a fair crack of it now. I don't really agree with the points that he should go as well, because I think as an assistant, you only have so much influence on a manager's decisions. So I think you can't really judge Johnny Jackson's performance in the role until you've given him a fair crack at it. I don't think you can judge him on Nigel's stats or Bo's stats or whatever. I think now Johnny Jackson's got the opportunity to do things his way and a bit more of a longer stretch to do them. And hopefully, as Tom said, you know, I've got everything crossed and I don't think I've ever wanted it to work for someone more than I do for Johnny. So I really hope it does.
Absolutely. I think, you know, when Jacko took over after Bo did leave and he had that game where he came back from 2-0 down against Bristol Rovers last season, that was definitely right up there with one of my favourite games of last season. Certainly the most I've celebrated a goal inside the Valley, because it was for Jacko. I'm not going to call him Jacko. It was extra special, and it will certainly be extra special if he can, you know, find himself in a position to take this job on and to achieve success. But obviously, it's a big decision today for Thomas Sandgaard. You know, he was at the game on Tuesday to see the performance for himself in the flesh and to hear the atmosphere within the stadium and how far away we were from, you know, being where we wanted to be, and obviously wanted Nigel to do well, but it hasn't happened. So he was asked by the club today how it felt for him to make the decision that he had to make.
Honestly, I'm gutted that we had to say goodbye to Nigel Atkins. We had a tremendous end to last season, where, very much thanks to him, we only missed the playoffs by the goal difference. It was really exciting to see how it all clicked towards the end of last season. We haven't had the results at the beginning of this season, and this is very much a results-driven business, if you want to call it that. And therefore, we had to inject a change. We have to do things differently. And it obviously starts with the manager. I'm sad to say that despite the great influence Nigel has had on this club already, that we have to say goodbye to him. But we have to look forward. We have to really collect a lot of points here soon, so that we're not too far off when we get into the spring. Of course, we're looking at what's available out there, and at the same time allowing Johnny Jackson to work himself into the job. And he obviously could be a good choice for us long term. I certainly hope so, that it would develop that way. Johnny has a great history with the club, obviously as a player, but also as assistant manager here recently. He's a great addition, and I certainly hope to see good results, but also good performance on his part.
That's Thomas there. It must have been hard, Tom, because when you get a manager in, I mean, everyone now is discussing, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there discussing with hindsight, well, oh, I told you Atkins was going to be rubbish. But I mean, you know, he had proven track record beforehand. at this level in particular. Got promoted twice out of this division. You never really know how it's going to go with a manager. So he must be so disappointed that this is the way it went, and empathetic as well. Everyone felt sad that this decision had to be made, but it did have to be made.
And I think as well, Thomas has to admit he made a mistake now, you know, and as you say, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but he has to admit that he got that choice wrong. And for a rookie owner, for someone who hasn't, obviously he's been in business a long time, I'm sure he's made decisions in his business life similar, but for a football owner, you know, relatively new in that experience, to come in, to put your stamp in, to bring all these people in and have the setup that you want, and for that to not work out, you know, to admit that is probably tough, particularly if you're a successful businessman, because you'd assume he doesn't make too many mistakes in those areas of his life. So, yeah, it is hard. And I wonder if that's why he's taken the time that he has to just give him a chance. As Lewis said, I think it would have taken 8, 9, 10 straight wins for Nigel to turn that around. But be interesting to see how much of a difference Tuesday made just in terms of seeing that atmosphere. It was, you know, it was clear to all of us that it was done by then. There wasn't really any coming back from that. So, yeah, I think he's been ruthless in the fact that he has made this decision. But I feel he's given Nigel the time, and, you know, he's ultimately made that call for the club, and that's ultimately what, as an owner, you have to do. You have to look at that and see where things are, and as I say, you have to admit that you've got that wrong. And they were patient in that signing, weren't they? You know, when they brought him in, they said, we've been looking, we've got a short list, you know, we've been thinking about it. Now, how much truth there was in that, I'm not, you know, I can't say, but if we take them on face value, you know, this was a considered appointment when they made Nigel Adkins. It wasn't rushing into it, and as you said, his CV speaks for itself, on the whole, pretty positive, but just didn't work out for whatever reason. I don't particularly know why, but yeah, I think, as you said, and as we've said really throughout the show, the decision was kind of made for him on Tuesday night, and I don't think he had any other choice.
Mm. And again, I sort of mentioned it earlier, I guess he's still learning. And we spoke about what Nigel sort of said about the summer and it being too slow, and, you know, I'm sure Nigel would have felt disappointed about that. Do you think Thomas will sort of look inwardly and think, well, maybe I should have done this or that differently, maybe I could have made this appointment there in terms of, or maybe I shouldn't have made this appointment there? I mean, he'll make sure that he take some experience from this and try and improve for when he needs to, if he feels so, I guess, Lewis.
Yeah, I don't think the blame can rest solely at the feet of Nigel. I think that mistakes have been made throughout, really. I think maybe we underestimated the competitiveness of the division, maybe, or we underestimated the need to strengthen in the window as much as we actually needed to, because the business was left so late. And you know, that added to sort of, not the excuses, but the issues at the start, where we found ourselves in the same position under Roland and under ESI, even, but mainly Roland, but we didn't have the opportunity to have a fully fit side throughout pre-season to prepare and instill a system and a way of playing and build relationships with teammates and partnerships in defence or strikers or whatever. We didn't have that time. I know this year was a bit different because the pandemic has definitely played a part in the windows, and we had the Euros as well. So there's been a few things, but I still think that we acted too late in a lot of the things. You know, a lot of the stuff was panic buying, not panic buying, but we reacted very late in the window. We put a team together very late in the window. And by the time you get those players up to speed, you're kind of 10 games in. I mean, to be honest, we're not even up to speed now. So we're 13 games in and we find ourselves where we are. I think that mistakes have been made, and I think that Thomas will evaluate that. You know, he is a new owner and he's new to the sport, and mistakes will be made. I think we have to accept that, because there aren't the people here to make the footballing decisions for him at the moment. There are people at the club that probably advise, but there isn't someone here solely, whether that's a CEO or whatever, that can make the footballing decisions for him and advise him from that sense of things. I think that it's kind of been a reactive summer rather than being proactive. We knew the rebuild was massive and we didn't take advantage of the time we had in the summer to do that. And we find ourselves where we are. And unfortunately, Nigel is the sort of lamb to the slaughter in this situation. But you know, I think he will evaluate, and I think it's a situation he'll have to avoid going forward. And it'd be interesting to see what stance that means he takes in January if we have to strengthen further to get ourselves out of the position we're in.
Right, let's have a break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, we've got loads of your reaction to the departure of Nigel Adkins, and we'll have a quick look ahead to Saturday's pretty daunting trip up to the North East to take on Sunderland at the Stadium of Light.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Into the box, looking for Stockley, he gets it in! And there's the opening goal! Charlton scored, a delivery absolutely perfect from Albie Morgan. Picks out Stockley, who rose first and flicked it past Fisher for the opening goal.
Yeah, and that is a very, very difficult ball to defend if you're a centre-half. I know you want to look at it from Stockley's point of view. He was aggressive. He got above the centre-half. He pinned him so he couldn't make a jump and attack the ball. And then once you've done that, it's just a case of getting contact onto the football itself and directed towards goal. He did that. We find ourselves one in front, but a delightful delivery from Albie Morgan.
Well, welcome back to Charlton Live. Officially, this is a big match preview, but of course, we've been discussing the fact that Nigel Adkins has been sacked, given the old heave-ho, and Johnny Jackson is taking over in charge. Obviously, invited you guys to have your say, as I'm sure you can imagine. There's hundreds of messages again in our inbox, so I'll get to a handful of them. And again, don't be too upset if we can't read your one out, because there's literally, if I read them all out, we'd be here all night. But let's have a quick look. Graham Clark is saying he'd like to see George Costa coming in. I know he's been manager. I did see something with the Mod Mag suggested that George said he'd love to manage the club at some point. That'd be fun at some point. But yeah, interesting that one. Let's see. Moses says, hi guys, love the show. Give it to Jackson long term. Looking at our successful modern managers, they've all been ex-players. Charlton always do well when there's a Charlton man running things. Fans will give the team everything under Jackson as well. Yeah, certainly agree with that. Phil says, hi guys, disappointed it hasn't worked out for Adkins. Genuinely a nice guy and I wish him all the best. I don't seem to be the only one though that is unconvinced that the Jacko Yule caretaker role will work. I sincerely hope it does though. Whatever happens, we do need a younger, more progressive manager, an exciting team to go and watch. Let's hope by the time you read this out that on the pod, the Jed Roddy has packed his bags as well. Well, there's nothing to suggest that's happened. I mean, I understand why people are slightly cautious as to whether Jackson and Yule's going to work, Tom, because, I mean, yeah, they're inexperienced. We don't know. I mean, they know the club. They've done the badges and obviously worked with youth levels, and Jacko's been an assistant manager for a while. I mean, you've got to start somewhere, haven't you?
Yeah, it's a tough one to be thrown into, but let's not forget that the bloke we've got rid of is someone with huge experience with promotions from this division before, and that hasn't worked out. So yeah, I think that Bowyer was rookie, as I said earlier. Powell was rookie when he came in, and it has worked out. So I get the caution, because it's not always going to be the case. And as people have said, Jacko's been involved for a while now under this manager when it hasn't worked out. But I just feel, and maybe lots of people feel this about their club, but I do feel our club is different in terms of that relationship. You know, we have had ex-players in that role a lot over the past 30, 40 years. So, yeah, I do think we're slightly different in that respect. I don't know how many other clubs could say they're in a similar sort of position, or certainly that a managerial position has been filled for that amount of time by ex-players or people involved with the club. So, of course, there is caution. But as I say, the bloke before was a very experienced manager and that didn't work out. So there's no, that I can see, no rhyme or reason as to why one does and one doesn't. But yeah, I just, as I said earlier, hope it does for all of our sakes.
Proud to be English and British, says we should go for Steve Bruce. Although he appears to be an Aston Villa fan, so I don't know why he's getting involved. right, Liz emails, says, Thursday morning, 10:30, I'm so relieved. Like everyone else, I liked Nigel as a person, but it has been obvious for weeks that things weren't working. I love JJ, and he will have the advantage of the bounce effect. It also gives him time for a proper choice to be made, but I'm not sure he has the experience to deal with a team in such dire state. And he has been part of the coaching staff that has got us to where we are. At least it's a change. Hopefully it will be for the better. Thanks for your show. As always, fair and interesting. That's from Liz. Thanks. Liz, Craig said it's defo the right decision for Adkins to go. Sadly, he didn't replicate his initial form. He's not a bad guy, but he's out of touch with the modern game. I really want JJ and Yule to work. And no better place to start than our Wembley pal Sunderland. Our season starts here. Up the roaring addicts, coming you Reds. That's from Craig. Cheers, Craig. Tom says, disappointed to see it didn't work out with Adkins. As a football manager, you could clearly see his positive coaching philosophy. But in terms of a tactical philosophy, we were only showed glimpses of it last season. It seemed to fail to cross over to this season. I'm not sure that's down to recruiting the wrong players or for how he wanted to play, or just not getting it through to them on the training ground. Either way, I can't say that I don't agree with the decision to let him go. I'd love to see Jacko and your work, but I am basing that more on heart than head. If it doesn't work, then I think we may need to poach a manager from a team who's doing well instead of managers who've been out the game for a few months or assistant coaches from bigger teams. I wouldn't be disappointed in Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. He would be my choice, but it's whether we can persuade him to join a club in our position from one in and around the playoffs. But for the moment, I'm fully behind Jacko and Yule. Kevin's got a suggestion as well. Chris Powell, he's done it once. We got the highest points total in our history under Chris Powell. He has a relationship with Jacko and Jason Yule and will give Thomas the positive man at the helm who can organise a defence. Steve says, hi chaps, first time in a while I've written after enjoying the start to the season. I'm glad to see Nigel move on. He's a nice guy, but personally I thought he came across as very aloof when discussing football. Yeah, I could see that, and never really took the time to understand the club and its bonds with the fans, which was a real mistake. It feels clear to me that something changed over the summer, but I'm still not sure how that led to the awful football of this season. I'm 100% fully behind JJ. The word legend is used often nowadays, but in his case, it's fully valid. However, I feel he's been given a really bad hand here as a first-timer manager, given the state of the squad and the morale around the league position. Realistically, I see us looking for a new manager in 5 to 6 games' time. If that happens, I want to see a young, modern, dynamic manager to completely change the football and the mood and the culture around the club. Says that we're an untrusting bunch of fans, and whoever it is that gets a full-time job, we need to put aside our well-owned distrust of people and outsiders and get behind them to move this club forward. We are the best fans going. When we have momentum, we just need to get the right team in the boardroom and dressing room to fire it up again. It says, come on, Johnny Jackson's Red and White Army and Roddy out. That's from Steve. Pete said, I know lots of people will disagree with me, but I think Thomas has made two bad decisions today. First, the sacking of Nigel. I see the results, the poor performances, but here are two things to think about. Thomas has said in numerous interviews about long-term plans of Europe in 5 to 10 years. If this is true, then why rush to get yet another manager? Assuming we get a new one by Christmas in the 14 months, he would have had 3 managers and an acting manager in Jackson. So potentially we're looking at a relegation avoiding scrap. Let's be honest. We've been in a few, so one more won't make a bit of difference. But what happens if the replacement can't turn things around by mid-January? Sack another one, it's what we do now. We won't get in a relegation scrap, but we will because of the fans' self-opinionated belief that they have the answer, which, of course, is to give the job to a former player. And that brings me to Thomas's second bad decision. He did what the self-believing fans wanted. He gave it to Jackson. It's Jacko, the legend, wore the shirt. Fine, but what has he achieved managerially? Using the criteria of former players who've worn the shirt, Jason Yule has more experience, a proven track record, and a history as manager or coach. He should have been given the nod by Thomas before Jackson. So then my final point, when did a former player wearing the shirt be proven as guaranteeing the person is a great manager? Some have had mild success, but the vast majority don't go on to become incredible managers at their former club. I mean, no, I don't. No one's suggesting that it guarantees success, I guess, Tom. And, well, I mean, the point there from Pete saying if you sack a manager now, would you have to sack another manager for him? I mean, you can't have let this go on much longer, surely.
That's what I would have thought. As far as I could see, and I think I said this a bit earlier in the show, we were heading for relegation under Nigel. I don't think that's overstating it. Now, obviously, he might have turned it around, but I saw nothing on the pitch to suggest that. And we've seen some bad stuff. And obviously, I've only been supporting the club, you know, I'm only 31, so I've not been around as long as Terry, for example. But I can't remember seeing a team that looked so unlikely of winning a game as the team that I've watched in the past few weeks. And I just didn't see anything that suggested that was going to change. So, no, I think Lewis said earlier that he's got, you know, I would have said that playoffs is written off anyway now. So the only thing to concentrate on is securing football in this division. And I think with a few wins, we'll start to creep up that table a little bit. And, you know, if we were to go down, if that was still to happen, then that's a conversation that we can have later in the season. But I would argue that under Nigel, that was potentially going to happen anyway. So, no, I disagree with that point slightly. I do agree, as you just said, that, you know, bringing in an ex-Charlton player doesn't guarantee anything. But the proof over the last few that we've had is that actually it can make a bit of a difference and it can transform things. So, yeah, I want to see him given time. I want to see him given a chance, and let's see. And Thomas is going to give him that chance. And ultimately, if in 5-6 games Jacko hasn't won a game either, then I'm sure Thomas will be very clear about what he's going to do next and bring somebody else in. But I just didn't see it changing under Nigel, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, certainly. Right, let's have a look at some of the tweets that have come in as well. Joe Puddyfoot made me laugh this morning, saying that I had demanded that the news was broken ahead of the Charlton Live show just for the downloads. Well, yeah, it makes it better than the time that we used to do stuff just after a Charlton Live show, so that's worked out quite nicely, Joe. Craig said it's 100% the right decision. You can tell that Nigel had lost the dressing room and the respect of the players. Dan said it hadn't worked out. It was bound to happen with the form we're on and the way the fans reacted after the game on Tuesday night. Now, facts and stats. I did ask in the tweets, who would you like to go for next? Facts and stats says, stick with Jacko. The first priority now is 50 points and staying up. Keith says, it was a decent guy, Nigel. We had to go. It's a results business at the end of the day, and we're not getting any. JJ coming in for now to try and stop the rot. But long term, I'm not sure. We'll get behind him 100%, though. First goal was getting enough points to stay up. And Mike says the decision had to be made to get rid of Nigel. It should have been made a few weeks ago. Steve-O, shame, really wanted it to work out with him after the good run in last season. You don't make a bad manager or player overnight, so I'm not sure what's gone wrong. But I wish him all the best. Carl says, we need to reevaluate our expectations now. There isn't a chance of promotion. It's about finding that identity and staying up. Staying up is imperative, and a mid-table finish would be success for a new manager over 30 games. Well, I'll put that question to you then, Lewis. What is success now for the rest of this season? And if it is Jacko who stays, or if it's Jacko who does it for a handful of games and then someone else comes in, what is success now? Playoffs 10 points away? I mean, you get a remarkable new manager bounce, the so-called new manager bounce. And I mean, I don't think we will, but I guess maybe you could play yourselves back into that conversation. But I mean, what would you consider success for whoever comes in, if it is Jacko or whoever replaces Jacko between now and the end of the season?
I think really the reality of it is, as you say, I think the playoffs is incredibly unlikely. So I think the main goal now really is just getting out of that bottom four, but also just seeing an upturn in performance levels and you know, making the performances a bit better. Because what we're seeing is it's not just been like we're losing games and it's been unlucky and we've been in it. We've been completely out of it, if I'm honest. So I think the main thing really is we don't just see an improvement in terms of results, but as in performance overall. And I think, as alluding to what Tom said there, you know, Johnny Jackson will give the entire place a lift because of the affiliation he's got with the supporters and he's got with the football club. And people will be desperate for him to succeed, like we've just said. So I think that will help. It will give everyone a lift in the stands. The stands will give everybody a lift on the pitch. And it can be a perfect thing. You know, there's no guaranteed success in any of this. And as you say, it could in 5 or 6 games, we could be in the same position or worse. And then they evaluate it and they'll bring someone in. But I think really what we need at the moment is that Charlton person to come in and give the place a bit of inspiration and a bit of a lift, and I can't think of anyone better to do it than Johnny Jackson.
Well, Terry Connolly says we should go for Eddie Howe. says if JJ was any good, Bowyer would have taken him to. Isn't Eddie Howe linked with the richest club in the world now in Newcastle? Well, we could try. Jack says George Costa or Michael Beal. I think he's the coach at Rangers, isn't he? He's got some sort of connection to the club from back in the day. Simon says maybe Chris Hughton or even Stuart Psycho Pearce. I think there's a danger that JJ and Jason Yule's reputations could be damaged if they take over in the long term and we end up going down. Plenty more tweets have come into us. If you have a look in our mentions on Twitter, you'll be able to see what everyone said. But we're coming towards the end of the show, and I do want to have a quick look ahead to the game at Sunderland on Saturday. So let's hear from Johnny Jackson again, the caretaker manager. It's a tough start to life in charge for him.
Yeah, very difficult start, obviously. It's been a bit of a whirlwind morning, obviously not going to have loads of time to prepare that you normally would do to sort of bring my own stamp on it. But what a great game. What a great game for us. Something to look forward to, something for the players and us coaches to get our teeth into. Difficult test, team in good form, but what a place to go and play football. And for me personally, to lead a Charlton Athletic team out there as caretaker manager will be a real honour.
I know, look, we are in a difficult position, as I said earlier, but can you see this as a little bit of a free hit? Because, you know, obviously you've been thrown in a little bit of the deep end with only a few days to prepare. You know you're a club legend, you know what the fans think about you. We can go up to Sunderland and there'll be a decent away support, probably a few more now maybe, going up to the stadium alight. Do you see this as a little bit of, something you can just enjoy a little bit, if it's possible to do so?
I'll do my best to enjoy it. As far as a free hit would suggest that I'd be happy losing the game, which I'll never be. So I know that it's a real sort of task to go up to Sunderland and win the game, especially when they're in good form, we're not in good form. So on paper, it's a difficult game, but I fully believe that we're capable of going there and getting a result. And that's what I'll be thinking, and that's what I'll be trying to get across to the players, that we have to believe we can go there and win. There's no reason that we shouldn't believe that. So, yeah, difficult one to start with, but I mean, these are the games that you're involved with football for.
Is it something you can impress on the players when you are going to the stadium a lot, and you look at Sunderland and where they are, and if Lyon and we're not so much, but it's like the Valley, it's a stadium that they should enjoy playing in, and if your away crowd can. 1,000+ or however many it's going to be, can get behind the lads, it could be a decent place for football.
For me, you shouldn't need motivation to go and play your football anywhere, really, but certainly when you're walking out of places like that, you know you're in a proper game and you're at a proper football club in front of a great crowd. We'll have great support there, so that should be motivation alone. But obviously, that's my job as manager to really get that extra ounce out of them. Can I push them hard? And I will. I'll push them. While I'm afforded the opportunity, I'll push them as hard as I possibly can and let them know what the requirements are to play for this club.
Going up to Sunderland, obviously we know about Ryan and Jake are still away from full fitness, but what about the squad? Obviously Harry Arta had a knock, and Elliot Lee's been ill. So have you got a full squad aside from the ones we know about to pick from?
Yeah, Arta's obviously had a little knock and missed the game in a week, so we're just assessing him to see whether he can play a part. But we had a training group out there this morning. We had some lads on a sort of recovery from Tuesday night, trying to get them as fresh as we can for Saturday, and then training the ones that haven't been involved. So I've got a good squad of players there to choose from. It's just now down to me to pick an 11, and obviously with my staff's help to pick an 11, pick a squad that's capable of going out there and getting a result.
That's Jacko looking ahead to it. I want to see, already spoken, Tom, about the fact he's going to try and put his own stamp on the side. What would you like to see change in terms of personnel or formation or something in the very short term? Obviously, he's only got a day and a bit on the training ground to do that, but what would you change between now and Saturday to go to a side, Sunderland, who already have three times as many points as us, who are scoring goals for fun, and certainly going to be up there at the end of the season? I mean, this is a daunting test, and I mean, what does Jacko do to change things to see us go up there and get something?
I think formation has to change, first and foremost. I just don't like the way we've been set up. I don't think it works with this collection of players. Personnel-wise, I don't want to necessarily speculate. I'm interested to see who he picks. But I think you could argue that, there aren't many people that have torn up trees yet this season. But I think formation, definitely. I think the other thing that I want to see a difference, and Lewis mentioned this earlier, is that fight and that desire that pressing, that chasing players down. And that is something that he won't let them get away with. And I feel too many of those players have. So that's the big thing I want to see. As you said, daunting task. Fully wouldn't be surprised if we go up there and we don't manage to get anything from it. But what I want to see is that we had a chance and that we fought for it. Because those last two games, as I said, up until the last minute, we were in the Lincoln game score-wise, and we were only a goal away from getting a point on Tuesday night. But outside of the score, we looked miles away and we never looked like getting anything from either game. So that's what I want to see. I want to see the Charlton that we know, a Charlton that digs in, that fights for points. And I think we've got the players that can do that, whoever he picks. They just need to be set up better, because I don't think Nigel has set them up correctly. And then they need Jacko breathing down their neck, and I don't think he'll let them get away with slacking off. And if that happens, irrespective of whether we get a result or not, maybe that will be the thing that starts to turn the corner.
Yeah, obviously we went to Sunderland last season and got a 2-1 victory. Goals was an own goal, wasn't it, from Ryan Innes' header. And then Alex Gilby. That was a completely unexpected result. And imagine if we do that, I'd be tempted to give Jacko the result on a spot, the job on a spot based on how well Sunderland have been doing this season. But I mean, obviously it could be a massive lift. And again, you know, a side that needs a lift, a side that needs something to go right. But as Tom says, you don't accept a defeat, but you'd understand a defeat with a better performance at least.
Yeah, you would. I mean, I do kind of have a little bit of faith now the change has happened. I know that we alluded to like the new manager bounce, you know, it could come into effect. You know, we have a fairly decent record against Sunderland, so I'm feeling a lot more confident about the game than I was this time yesterday, and definitely this time on Tuesday. So, you know, who knows? It will give everyone a lift. You know, there's a lot of people going up there. I think about 950 tickets have been sold for the game, which is amazing. You know, we'll be up there. It'll be loud. People will be behind Johnny Jackson. And you just never know. And as Tom said there, and as Jacko said in his presser, he's going to want to put his own style and his own shape onto it. If it's something and we see a lot of changes that we haven't seen under Nigel, then maybe you know that he, as people have said, he maybe should have gone with Nigel, that he didn't get the chance to put his stamp onto things. So it will be interesting to see how he lines up. And yeah, I'm feeling more confident now. You know, I'm not expecting to go out there and storm it, because it would be silly to think that. But I think that we can at least try and get a point up there. And you never know, we might nick a 1-0 win where we're getting peppered for 90 minutes, but just get lucky and nick one goal. You never know. But I'm feeling a lot more confident now.
Yeah, 5-0 win. The battle for survival starts here. I agree. Right, we've come to the end of this week's, well, officially big match preview, but obviously the show where we've been discussing the departure of Nigel Adkins, the Addicts boss, sacked this morning by Thomas Sandgaard. Johnny Jackson coming in as caretaker manager. He'll take the side at Sunderland, assisted by Jason Yule. Busy show. Thanks to everyone who got involved. And again, sorry if we didn't get to your messages, but make sure you have a look through our Twitter mentions to see a whole wide range of views of people bidding farewell to Nigel and suggesting who they think should replace him. So thanks to everyone who got involved. Thank you to Tom and to Lewis for being with me this evening.
Cheers, mate. See you Saturday.
Good to speak to you both. I'm Louis Mendes. See you all up there, especially if you're hanging around in Newcastle on Saturday night. I'll be out and about throwing some shapes on the various dance floors. God, I dread to think what that would look like. But, you know, especially if we win. But, yeah, thanks for listening. I'm Louis Mendes. We'll see you again on Sunday.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.